obligatory festivals which we have to observe. Those are Gorpurnima, Ram Nomi, Narsingha Chaturdasi, and Janmashtami. These are obligatory. We have to fast, unless we're sick, we have to fast for those days. So, even though our objective is a little different, still we observe Ram Nomi with great eclat and festivities. So the pastimes of Lord Ram and the Ramayana, they are, as Madhvacharya explained, that we observe, we take for Shastra the four Vedas, the Shruti, Smriti, and he includes the authentic, the Valmiki Ramayana. This is the only authentic Ramayana. There are other versions which depict Ram Lila, which are more or less accurate, but there's the fact that there are also less accuracy in them, they have to be rejected. Like in South India, we have the Kumbham Ramayana, which is in Tamil. This has to be rejected. Because as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, the author of this, he interjected certain things. For example, Lord Ram praying to Lord Shiva to be able to kill Ravan. So he said that this, the author by doing so makes Shiva look like a fool. Because, you know, Ravana was Lord Shiva's lifetime devotee, lifelong devotee, and by a little bit of prayers now, how you can trust in taking shelter in Lord Shiva? Why? He tried to glorify Lord Shiva, but ultimately he made Lord Shiva look like foolish, because it's not safe to take shelter of Lord Shiva. One little prayer, the lifetime devotee is destroyed. So that's why we cannot, or the works of Tulsidas, they interject their own idea. So the only one we can accept is Valmiki Ramayana. And the best version available in English today is that of the Gita Press. You can get it. 2 volumes, 1900 pages, 300 rupees. Cheap and best. Sanskrit and English. So you can read it. It's authentic. It's the Gorakhpur edition. So all through the history of India, there are two literatures which have preserved the culture, the Vedic culture. The Mahabharata and the Ramayana. Because they're meant for everyone. Not everybody is interested in reading the Chandogya Upanishad or in the intricacies of the Vedanta philosophy. But everybody, even the Muslims, they turn on the television when the Ramayana series came on. Right? Everybody's interested in the Ramayana. It's meant for everyone. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that to understand the Vedas, one has to study the Puranas. So, Purana and Itihasa. So, Mahabharata and the Ramayana, they come under the category of Itihasa, histories. It's only by studying these literatures that one can actually understand the recondite meaning of the Veda. Otherwise, it becomes very obscure, all these different mantras. But these literature explains how you're supposed to understand the Veda and how you're supposed to live. But that's why, as long as Ramayana and Mahabharata will be popular, then people will adhere to the traditional Vedic culture, because in the Ramayana, it teaches by the ideal character of Lord Ram. There's a one word which is often found in the Ramayana, Dharmatma. One who knows what is right and who does what is right. Because one thing to know what is right, but you don't always do it. Old enough to know what to do, but not to do. Because in knowing what is right is easy, but sometimes putting it into practice, having the courage of your conviction, can get you killed. It can get you in a lot of trouble. Like a Jatayu. He knew what was the right thing to do, and he did the right thing. And he died. It cost him his life, but he did the right thing. And was he the loser? Sometimes we think in devotional service that if we don't get the expected result, then it's a failure. So Jatayu, he, in his devotional service, he tried to save Mother Sita, but he failed at the cost of his life. As he said to Ravana, "I want to entertain you. Please," he said, "please accept my hospitality on the field of battle." That was his statement to Ravana, and he died. So if we are, so that means sometimes people, they have, with a material conception, they think that unless I get a certain result, even in devotional service, then it's a failure. But it's not. Because even though Jatayu died, who performed his funeral sacrifice? Who performed? If Lord Ram starts crying at your death, when you're passing away, that would be something, one could consider this, that the Lord is shedding tears, seeing you, that he did the ultimate sacrifice. So just because a person does not, in his devotional service, does not achieve a certain result, doesn't mean it's wasted, doesn't mean it's not devotional service. Even Lord Krishna himself, when he was going to go from Upaplavya to Hastinapur to bargain, to for one last time, try to get a peace settlement, he says that even if a person who wants to do something right, if he's unsuccessful, he still gets the benefit as if he had been successful. He still gets the benefit. Even if he was not successful, you still get the benefit. So the Ramayana teaches all of proper behavior, how to behave in society, in family, and because the family is a microcosm of society. Because society is only made up of families. There's only two kinds of people in society, it's males and females. Right? That's the only kind. And they get together, and then there's families. So by the ideal behavior explained, exemplified by Lord Ram in the Ramayana, we learn how to behave. How does a son behave with his father? How do younger brothers behave with older brothers? Because, for example, the brothers, Bharat, Shatrughna, and Lakshman, they looked up on Ram as if he was God. Of course, they were all God. They looked up to him as if he was God. Why? Because he was the older brother. Now, was Ram 10 years older than them? That he looked at your older brother. You think you're much older. He took care of you when you were a child. So you look up to him with great reverence. Was Ram 10 years older? No. He was one day older than Bharat. But Bharat worshipped his shoes for 14 years. He was 2 days older than Shatrughna and Lakshman. Today, at this very moment, the moon is in the fourth quarter of Punarvasu. Well, this was in Punarvasu Nakshatra, fourth pada, Ram was born. Tomorrow, in Pushya, would be Bharat's appearance day. The day after that in Ashlesha will be the appearance of Lakshman and Shatrughna. So they were only, Bharat was only 1 day younger than Ram. Lakshman only 2 days younger, yet they looked upon him as, the be all and end all. And also, so they teach us that behavior, how to honor. And of course, Ram didn't take advantage. He was always very pleased with them, always giving blessings to them. And then there's the how Lord Ram dealt with his mothers, even Kaikeyi. He paid obeisances to her, he asked for her blessings, even though he was being driven into the forest, losing his kingdom. He never was impolite. Even we see Prahlad, though his father was trying to kill him, he was always respectful to his father. He never agreed with his father, but always was respectful. So he was, Lord Rama showed the epitome of perfect respect. How a Kshatriya deals with a Brahmana, how a Brahmana deals with a, you know, all these interactions are perfectly explained in Ramayana. Or the perfect interaction of husband and wife. Perfect interaction. One time, after arriving in Dandakaranya, they went to the ashram of Agastya Rishi. So there Agastya Rishi explained to Ram that he should go and kill all the Rakshasas, that they were colonies. Ravana sent colonies. They were colonizing the forest and they were creating great mayhem. They were creating such problems that all the rishis were being killed. And there, has anybody ever heard Prabhupada use the expression, or ever heard the expression that what is the wealth of the Brahmins? That tapasya is the wealth of the Brahmins. We may have heard this expression before. I never really understood what it meant until Agastya Rishi explained how is tapasya the wealth of the Brahmins. That he described that these rishis, when the Rakshasas came, these rishis were powerful enough to kill the Rakshasas because they had so much tapasya, so much tejas. But if they killed the Rakshasas, then their bank balance of tapasya would be decreased. So, and then that tapasya was meant to elevate them to their goal, either to Swarga or to Vaikuntha. So rather than have a decrease in their tapasya bank balance, these rishis were preferred. These rishis would prefer to be eaten alive, to be killed and eaten alive. This is wealth. You guard wealth with you. They would rather die than lose this. So anyway, Agastya Rishi told Ram, you should, yojanas from here is where the asuras are staying, the rakshasas are staying. You should go there and kill them. So as they're walking along, Sita, Ram, Lakshman, they're walking along. Sita says she disagrees with Ram. She disagrees with this, and she says, they should. But how did she say it? Did she say, why are you listening to that? Well, you're so dumb. Why are you listening to this guy? Why do you never listen to me? And she started nagging him and, getting on his case and ragging him and, sometimes, that kind of thing can happen. I live in an apartment in a flat and you can hear everything in other flats. Sometimes you hear some, it's not exactly symphonic music that's coming from there. Shouting, a lot of shouting. And it seems to me that mostly it's the women who are doing the shouting. a lot of shouting going on. I don't know who she's shouting at, but she's shouting at somebody. So, was that how Sita did? They started shouting at Lord Ram, or nagging him, or criticizing him, or why are you always following the other people's advice? Why don't you listen to me? I know, she didn't do like that. That's not what Sita said. She was very humble, first of all. She was very humble, very self-effacing. She just goes, I'm a less intelligent woman. She's the mother of the universe. I'm the less intelligent woman, this and that. All very, very humble. But then she said, but I don't think we should go there and kill these people. We don't even know them. What do they do to us? We're going to go to some place, a new neighborhood, and kill all the neighbors. What is the, So she was expressed her opinion, but in a very humble way. She described, she disagreed with Lord Ram. But then Lord Ram, what did he say? Oh, you stupid woman, 32 ounces, he didn't go and, what do you know? He didn't say like that. He was very moved. He was very touched by her. That you have so much love for me. You have so much love for me that you're concerned. That you're concerned about my welfare. But then, after he appreciated us, but you're wrong. What you said is not correct, and he gave the reasons. And everybody was very happy. She was happy. He dealt with her very nicely. He was happy. He was the way she expressed herself was so humble, and it touched him. But they didn't agree. But it wasn't a fight. They didn't agree with each other. But it was it's very ecstatic when you read. It's not like when I hear my neighbors, which is, you know, she is really bending somebody's ear. I don't know. I think the ear has been torn off. So that behavior, you know, of how to properly deal with each other is given. That's why if we read the ideal character, palm reading. Everybody's heard of palm reading. The Hasta Samudrika is derived from Samudra, means Samudra Raj, the king of the ocean. His observation of Lakshmi and Narayan, their perfect bodily features, is the standard from which these, like, physiognomy, palmistry has been. And any deviation from that is, you know, that's how the future is told. So they are the ideal couple who we should follow. These ideal dealings are there. So all these social interactions can be learned. You know, gentle dealings, how to be ladies, how to be gentlemen, from the perfect dealings of Lord Ram and his brothers and his sister and his wife, parents. So there's sometimes when we, as devotees, you know, we pray to Krishna, we do our devotional service, but sometimes we're not sure if Krishna is listening on the other side. You know, we're expressing our devotion, but what is the reciprocation that we get back? So that's another thing which is taught in the Ramayana, how the Lord actually reciprocates with his devotees. How actually the mood, the devotion of his bhaktas, you know, make him do so many things. There's one very pitiful scene in the Ramayana is when Lord Ram is about to leave Ayodhya. So, for one last try, Sumantra, who is Dasarath's servant, best friend, his charioteer, he asks Kaikeyi, please change your mind. Change your mind. But she refuses to change her mind. Then Sumantra reveals, says, you're just like your mother. Your mother was just, you're just like her. Your mother tried to kill your father, and now you're doing the same. Because what happened was, Kaikeyi's father had got a benediction from a rishi that he could understand the language of the birds and the animals. But the rishi told him, you can never divulge to anyone else what they're saying. If you do, you will die. So one day, the king and Kaikeyi's mother, they were lounging in their rooms. And they were laying there. And all of a sudden, the king started giggling. And the giggle turned into louder. And then he couldn't hold himself and he was just having a belly laugh. He was just laughing and laughing and laughing. And Kaikeyi's mother started thinking, what's so funny? Then she started thinking, because she's a queen, you know, she's a queen, she's a little pride might be there. You know, the Kshatriya can have a little pride, as Dhruva Maharaj told, as exemplified. You know, even Narada Muni was astounded at how proud Kshatriyas can be. So she was the daughter of a Kshatriya, married to a Kshatriya. So she became, why is he laughing? Why is my husband laughing? So then she asked. He began to think that he's laughing at her. So then she asked him, why are you laughing? He says, those birds just said something so hilarious. It's really cracking me up. She says, I don't believe you. Oh, no. They were really, what did they say? You're just laughing, you're laughing at me actually. No, it was the birds. Well, what did they say? He said, I got this benediction. when she said, you know, but if I tell anybody what they said, then I'll die. He says, I don't care if you die. You tell me what they said. Then the king was shocked. My wife doesn't care if I die? She'd see me die. She's so proud. He immediately left. He went to the rishi. What should I do? My wife says she'd rather see me die as long as she gets to know. Because she's so concerned that I was laughing at her. So the rishi said, immediately leave her. Either kill her or leave her. She doesn't care for your life. And Sumantra says, you're just like your mother. You don't care whether your husband dies or not. So then, Ram gets on the chariot with Sumantra. And they're starting to go. And Dasarath and Kaushalya start following them. And Dasarath's very old. I mean, 60,000 years old. That's old. If you think 60 is old, try 60,000. That's very old. He was very old. And he had Ram when he was just, you know, 60,000 minus 16 years. He was quite old. But he was completely heartbroken. He was running after the chariot. Him and Kaushalya were running after the chariot. And he was, completely emotionally devastated. Totally emotionally devastated. His son, the apple of his eye, who he loved completely, is leaving. And he was crying, weeping, and he would fall down, just stumbling and falling down. And the Lord Ram is seeing this, and he begins, he couldn't check his emotions. He also began to cry. His heart was breaking. So he just turned to Sumantra, just leave now. Immediately go. My heart is breaking. He was completely overwhelmed with seeing his father and mother in this condition. And the emotions that Dasarath evoked in Lord Ram made him completely lose control of his emotions. So he left. So it's the Lord also responds with his devotees. Of course, Krishna and his Leelas. We see so many of these. That is the whole thing about Krishna Leela. There's so many ecstatic responses between Krishna and his devotees. There's also some mysteries which are found in the Ramayana. We mentioned how Lakshman was the dear servant of Ram, but sometimes Lakshman had to do some very unpleasant services. When they were in the forest, you know, every day if they had changed camp, Lakshman was assigned, he had to build all the cottages. And he did it according, and the Ramayana says he did it according to Vastu. Actually, it's according to Vastu. He even built the huts according to Vastu. And so these were, you know, he would chop the wood, he would do so many things, skin the animals. But these were tasks that he did lightly. He did, you know, without any problem. But one time he had a very horrible task to perform. That's when Ram decided that Sita should be exiled to the forest. So then Lakshman, he put Sita in the chariot. He was very obedient. He drove her across the Sarayu River into the forest. And Sita's weeping, totally weeping. And Lakshman is just trying to control himself. And she says to him, can't you see, why are you doing this to me? Can't you see I'm pregnant? He says, no, I've never seen you above your ankles. He never saw her above her ankles because she was the wife of his older brother. And he left her there and he went back. But after all these type of having to deal with these, listen to his older brother like this, Lakshman decided in his next incarnation he wouldn't be Ramanuja, he would be Achyuta Graja. Instead of being the younger brother, he wants to be the older brother. So this brings us to I want to make sure. So then we come up to why was Sita exiled? This is a big mystery. So many people have so many puzzled by this. Why did Ram exile Sita? Well, there's the external reason that she was criticized. That the washerman criticized his wife. You know, that she was out. You think you're going to take her back like Ram took back his wife? And then Lord Ram heard about this, and so he exiled Sita. And a lot of people have problems with this. Even the feminists in India, they use this as a they have a chip on their shoulder about this. But there's this mystery is explained in two places. In the Uttara Kanda of the Ramayana, it is explained, first of all, why Ram lost his wife. One time Vishnu, he was battling the Daityas, and so the Daitya Guru is Bhrigu. So somehow Bhrigu's wife was killed. So then Bhrigu cursed Vishnu, you also will be separated from your wife. But the Padma Purana gives a very a more detailed explanation of why it happened. Once in where was Janaka? What was his kingdom? Mithila. Right. So once Sita and her sister, who was her sister's name? Urmila. Her sister. And her cousins, her two cousins, the daughter of her uncle. Her father had an uncle. Her father had a brother. They had also twin daughters. They were those four, the ones who got married to Ram and the other three brothers. So one day, when she was a little girl, she was playing with her friends, and they heard there were some parrots. They heard some parrots talking, and they were singing. And they were singing the Ramayana. And they were talking about Sita. And she said, that's my name. They were talking about Ram, and they were describing the whole past and the Ramayana. And she became, how is this? Who is this Ram? So she and her girlfriends, they went and caught the parrots. Said, well, okay, tell us the truth. Like, they put a spotlight on their eye. They were interrogating, so they're interrogating the parrots. Where did you get this song? Why are you singing this? How did you know about me? Who is this Ram? They started giving them the third degree. She said, we don't know. We're just parrots. We live outside the ashram of Valmiki Muni, and him and his disciples are always singing these songs. We're parrots, we just repeat everything we hear. So she said, oh yeah? Okay. So I'm going to keep you, I'm going to put you in this cage, and then we're going to see if this Ram character comes. Please turn off the phones. If Ram comes, I want to know about this Ram. You were singing about this. I want to see if he's coming. And then the parrots became very disturbed. They said, no, you can't do that. We've never lived. We have only lived in trees. We've never been put in any cage. You can't put us like that, you know. We've always been free and alive, free and never been entrapped. So then she said, okay. I'll only put one of you in, not both of you. I'll put She put the shari in. She put the female parrot in. And the female parrot became really upset. She says, how can you do this to me? How can you separate me from my husband? I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant and you're separating me from my husband? I curse you. You also, when you're pregnant, you also will be separated from your husband. Then the male parrot, and then the female parrot died because she was separated from her husband. She died. Then the male parrot, he was so angry, he was so upset, that he fainted, seeing as he was separated from his wife, she dies. He fainted, and his faint, he fell down into a pool of water and drowned. But because he was in the mode of, because he was angry at the time of death, so in his next lifetime he took birth in the mode of ignorance. He took birth as a dobi in a yogi. He was the dobi. So that's how Sita. So she was cursed. this way. For that, the Padmapurana explained that this is why Sita had to leave her husband, because of this curse. So, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it explains that above Vaikuntha Dham, there's Ayodhya Dham. It's above Vaikuntha. Because in Vaikuntha, there's Dasya Rath is very much prominent. And of course, there's Madhurya Ras, you know, there's the wife. Vishnu has his wife. But in Ayodhya Dham is the beginning of Sakya Ras, a different Ras. Because Hanuman, though he's a servant of Ram, still they practically they become friends. He is embracing Lord Ram. So there's a more of a expansion of rasa is there in Ayodhya, in the pastimes of Lord Ram. But still, when Gopakumar went to Ayodhya, he still thought it was kind of stuffy compared to what he was interested in. He was, you know, he liked it. It was better than Vaikuntha, but it was still not quite a little bit on a formal platform. So the atheists and academic scholars, they look upon the Shastras, you know, the Vedas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranas, they look upon these as simply stories that you tell children. This is a fantasy. Very good imagination, but all imaginary. But you know, this is not, you know, as one person once told me, an atheist approached her and said that God is an escape from reality. And she countered it by saying, no, God is an encounter with reality. So these are not, these historical narratives which are found in Ramayana are not imagination. It is the truth. So it all depends upon how you read, with the faith that you read the Shastra with. That will have, that faith which you read will have, will determine the result that you get. So who can tell me an example of how to read the Ramayana? An example of a person that we should emulate for reading the Ramayana. Any, give any suggestions? The best example I know, of course you can't say Hanuman because he was in the Ramayana. Of course he also reads the Ramayana. He was one of five persons when they, instead of, you know, when they were going back to Ayodhya Dham in the spiritual world, Lord Ram said that five people should stay back. And they were, we already know Hanuman was one of them. Hanuman, Jambavan, Vibhishan, and then Mainda and Dvidvida. They were brothers. They were plenary portions of the Ashwini Kumars. So one of them, Dvidvida, he, because of bad association, he ended up being killed. He became an asura and he was killed by Baladev. So they're not counted. The best example I know of how to read the Ramayana is by King Kulashekar. King Kulashekar was the epitome. He teaches exactly how you should read the Ramayana, how you should listen to the recital of the Ramayana. Of course, King Kulashekar is an Alwar, and he is considered a Parshada of Lord Vishnu. He's an incarnation of the Kustobamani. Anyway, King Kulashekar, his Rajguru, daily would recite to him the Ramayana. And everything was going all right. But then one day, in his recital, They were at that place. Huh? They were at the place where Agastya Rishi told them to go. And then this guru is telling him that now Lord Ram has to face all alone the army of Karan Dushan. Lord Ram against 14,000 Rakshashas. And then King Kulashekar, he became, what? What's this? Ram is fighting alone against an army of 14,000? Not while I'm here, I have my own army. He told, get my army ready, we're leaving today for Dandakaranya. And he was serious. Everybody had to pack their kids, they're leaving. We're going. So his ministers are freaked out. What are we going to do? The king has taken the army to Dandakaranya. So they said, we better think of something fast. So what they did is they sent some Brahmins ahead, way ahead, and told them, okay, you come back and you tell them the news that Ram has already defeated the army. Like that. So he's going with his army, his chariots, he's got his elephants, he's got his infantry, his cavalry. And there are thousands of soldiers, they're going out. And all of a sudden, these devotees, these Brahmins come back and say, what's the news? He says, oh, we just heard Ram defeated Karan Dushan and Dandakaranya. They killed all of them. He said, what? They did it before we could get there. So he was a little disappointed that he couldn't get in on some of the action. So I said, okay, about face, everybody go back. The whole army, everybody goes back to Trivandrum. Because he was the king of Travancore. So then the ministers and told the Raja, don't read anything heavy anymore. Just read the fun parts. Just read the light parts. Just read the happy things, you know. So in this way, he was listening. He skipped all the heavy parts of the Ramayana. But then one day, the Rajguru wasn't there. He had to go away for some reason. He was sick. So the Rajguru's son, he began to read. But he wasn't informed about this section. He wasn't informed about the fact that he was supposed to skip the heavy parts. So he started reading, and he started coming to the part where Sita had been kidnapped and taken to Lanka, and that there was a war was going on there. And he was very up. He was became, you know, in shock. He said, what? There's a war? My Ram is alone. He said, monkeys? Only monkeys as his allies? What is it? Not while I'm here. I have my arm in Lanka, because his Trivandrum is right at the tip of India. So immediately, he got his whole army. Again, elephants, chariots, cavalry, infantry, tens of thousands of men heading south. And that's, Dandakaranya was a long ways. So they had a chance to send somebody ahead. But there's not that far to the end of India. So then the ministers were all upset. What are we going to do? We can't pull that trick out of the... Do that again, because he got to the shore already. And they're seeing him, you know, marching into the ocean. So at this point in time, because he had on his altar was Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Lord Ram saw that, my devotee is in a lot of trouble now. So they all got off the altar and they went, they came back. And he saw, walking over the water was Ram and Lakshman and Sita and Hanuman. And he said, everything's over, the war is over now. And they picked him up out of the water and said, you can go home. You can go home now, everything is okay. So now, if you read the Ramayana with the kind of faith of King Kulashekar, then Lord Ram will come off the altar and help you. You know, the Lord will help his devotees. So that is how we should listen to the Ramayana. So we should listen to the Mahabharata, Bhagavatam. This is reality. We enter into, because it's an eternal pastime. Like that. So I'll end now. Any questions? I'll leave time for some questions. One thing I was going to say is the Ramayana. It is of all the Shastras, contains the longest narrative of any avatar. 24,000 verses just on Lord Ram. I don't know of any other text that touches on any other, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is only one portion of the Bhagavatam, which is 18,000 verses. So it's the longest narration of any avatar. Yes, Guru.
Prabhu, I have a question. It's a confused question. They say that Ram, Lord Ram, lived for more than 1,000 years.
36,000.
Yeah. So he had been to Vanvas for 14 years.
Huh?
He had been to Vanvas for 14 years.
Yeah.
So that's nothing.
Yeah.
So how do you say that, you know, just maybe for 2 days, if you come away just for 2 days, so how is it that sacrifice? That's what people ask. So if he's lived for 36,000 years, 14 years of Vanvas is nothing, it's not a sacrifice.
Well, you know, let's put it this way. Hey, even if you live for 100 years, I'll put you in a forest with nothing for 14 days and see how you like it. You know, and there's wild animals and people trying to kill you. Put you on the battlefield. It's for a few days. The survival rate is not very high. People are complaining that the economy is bad. It'll get better in 6 months. Yeah, but they're freaking out that between that 6 months, a lot of things, bad things could happen. Right? Isn't it? Their whole business could collapse. So, though it may seem, time is relative. Time is relative. Because it seems, Einstein put it this way. If you sit on a park bench with a pretty girl for an hour, it seems like only a minute. But if you sit on a hot plate of a stove for a minute, it seems like an hour. Like that. Or when I was laying on the highway, bleeding to death with 12 broken bones, every second seemed like 12 years or more. So it depends. Sita, when they had to go to the forest, she gave all her clothes away to the wives of the Brahmins. Then they handed her clothes that she had to wear in the forest, and she didn't know which was the top, which was the bottom. You know, she had to put on like these bark clothes. You know, it's not, you know, bark, tree bark for clothing. You know, they're used to living in the highest comfort. Srila Prabhupada explained there was one man during the time of the before the independence of India. He was a lawyer, and he worked for the Congress Party. He made in those days lakhs of rupees per month working as a lawyer, as an advocate, highly paid. And you're talking about in the 30s making lakhs of rupees per month. That would be like making crores, you know, tens of crores per month. So Gandhi started the non-cooperation movement, right? Nobody was supposed to cooperate with the British. So this means that meant that this lawyer who was giving so much money to the Congress, he also was not supposed to cooperate with the British. That means he could not allow to go to the courts. So he didn't want to do it, but he gave in and he did it. Then his income dropped like anything. He couldn't tolerate it. He just died. He couldn't tolerate the change in his lifestyle. His income dropped so much because he was used to living in a certain lifestyle. If you go from rags to riches, it's one thing. Try going the other way, riches to rags, which somebody I know might happen in the near future. You know, complete loss of everything. They were, you know. And plus, you know, hearing his father died.
How Vishnu and Lakshmi are getting affected by curses?
Because the Brahma Devaya, he is a worshipper of the cows and the Brahmins, so he respects Brahminical culture. So therefore, he doesn't invalidate any curses. Of course, the Shuka wasn't a Brahmin. But also, the other thing is that unless they go to the forest, the past tense have to have some way of manifesting. It's all a drama. It's a play. They allow it to happen so that the past tense can continue. Otherwise, you know, people... Let's put it this way. Krishna is existing in your heart, right? The Paramatma. If he wants to, he can stop your heart like that. He can make your heart disappear. So obviously, Ram could have killed Ravana that way, but it would be a very short Ramayana. Extremely short Ramayana, you know, shortest story in history. You know, it'd be a list of short books. You know, Krishna killed all the demons. You know, it's not very interesting. But Krishna purposely has all these pastimes to attract the mind of a devotee. You know, lifting mountains on his finger, doing all these things. Imagine if you were standing there and all of a sudden a small pig came out of your nose. And then after, and in a few seconds the pig got bigger and bigger, and then the next thing you know the pig is as big as the Himalayan mountains. That would be in the newspaper, right? Wouldn't it? That's how Lord Varaha appeared. He's God. This is how we, otherwise how are we going to get attracted? He does unimaginable activities. So part of this is Sita's, the separation from Sita. He fulfills the curse of Bhrigu Muni. And on her side also Sita. Because curses can only be effective if there's truth is involved. That's explained in the beginning of the Mahabharata. That somebody just can't curse you just because they're upset with you. Some actual fault has to lie with you. Somebody can't curse you unless you've done something wrong. So there was one Brahmin. To get for his dakshin, he had to get the earrings of the queen. So he went through a whole thing, and after he got when he went to get the earrings of the queen, before that he had to eat some bull dung. That's a long story, I'm just making it short. So when he went to, the king said, "Oh, sure, you can get my queen's earrings. She's in the room over there." So he walked in the room, and he couldn't see anybody. And the Brahmin came back angry. "What are you joking? Are you pulling my leg? There's nobody in that room." He says, "Well, my queen is very pure. She can only be seen if you're pure. Have you done anything impure?" The Brahmin thought, "Well, actually, I haven't purified myself after eating that dung." So he did his achma and everything. Then he went in the room. Then he could see the queen. She gave him the earrings. Then, when he came back out, the king offered him some food to eat. So he took the food, but then he found there was some hair in the food, and it was cold. And so, hair in the food means that the cook, whether it was male or female, didn't keep their hair tied up. The reason women should braid their hair, or in some way keep their hair tied, is not as a not as a fashion statement. It's because if there's puja is going on and hair falls in, then it contaminates the puja articles. Or if there's cooking is going on and hair falls in, again it's contaminating, it's impure. So in a God-centered society, puja is going on a lot. A lot of archana is going on. A lot of cooking is going on. So whether it's a male cook or female cook, specifically the women, their hair is tied up. Later, if at home, if they're just relaxing, not doing anything, I mean nothing, no puja or cooking, then they can untie their hair. But other times, they'll always be tied up. No, let loose. The Rakshashis are like that. All the time. You can see some of these wild haircuts, wild styles. So anyway, so he cursed the king. "You're giving me impure food." He cursed the king. So the king cursed the Brahmin back. "I'm cursing you." He says, "Your curse is no good. I haven't done anything wrong. You've done something wrong. I haven't done anything wrong. Therefore, your curse has no effect." Like that. So curses have to be based upon some wrongdoing. So you don't have to be a Brahmin to curse, because you see the king was cursing. So because Sita separated husband and wife when she and the wife was pregnant, therefore she got cursed. And to make the story, she went along with it. She didn't have to. It's like Pariksha. He didn't have to accept the curse of the young Brahmin. Just like his name in the sixth canto, the king whose son died, Chitraketu. So he was cursed by Mother Parvati. Everybody else understood. Lord Shiva didn't take offense. All the rishis understood what he was saying, but Mother Parvati, she didn't get it. So she cursed him. So he could have, he was a great Vaishnava, he was on a, he didn't have to accept the curse. He could have counter-cursed it or blocked the curse, but he accepted it because he was humble. He was humble, he accepted the curse, and then there's a whole Leela took place. He became that Asura, Vrita Asura, to instruct Lord Indra. So the Lord does it for his own purposes, to make things interesting for us. It's play. For him, it is play. It's not, you know, like I said, if he wanted to kill, he kills everybody. Everybody dies. Of destroying agents, you know, I'm time. Everybody dies. So they can die in so many ways. He can instantaneously. But it wouldn't be very interesting. It would be extremely boring. Nobody would be reading, you know, television, you know, when the Ramayana comes out, nobody would go to see it, you know, everybody dropped it. Yeah, it's not a very interesting story. Then who would be interested? Who would want to become a devotee of Krishna? We see all these exchanges, the empathy, the pathos, the exchange of emotions, feelings. It would not exist. It would become very boring. Any other question? Yes?
Lord Ramachandra worshipping Lord Shiva, Rameshwar, what's actually behind that?
That's not in the Valmiki Ramayana, that's in the Kumbha Ramayana, it's not true.
It's not true.
Did you read the Valmiki Ramayana? It's not in the. That's okay, so you can build so many things. That's not true. It's not in the Valmiki Ramayana. We only accept the Valmiki Ramayana, not somebody else's imagination. I don't get anybody else's Ramayana doesn't matter. Only Valmiki Ramayana is the real Ramayana. Everything else is somebody's poetic imagination. And Srila Prabhupada, and you didn't come at the beginning of the class. I mentioned this point. Madhvacharya says, he says what is actually Shastra, and when it comes to that, he says, and the Valmiki Ramayana, no other Ramayana. That's what we listen to. And Prabhupada criticized one morning walk, he was saying how, he didn't mention the name Kumbham Ramayana, but he said, these persons, they were Shaivites, they put this in to make Lord Shiva look more superior, but actually it makes Lord Shiva look like a rascal. Why? Because Ravana is a lifelong devotee of Lord Shiva, but then he can't give protection to Lord Shiva. I mean, Lord Shiva can't give protection to Ravana. Well, so what's the value of worshipping Shiva? If you surrender your whole life to Shiva, then he doesn't protect you and you get killed. So Prabhupada was very critical. It's not the actual Ramayana. You won't find that in the Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana. The only authentic Ramayana is Valmiki Ramayana. And it was written before Ram even appeared. That's why Sita heard this Ramayana. It was done well before, because Narada Muni, he came to Valmiki and he told him to write the Ramayana. You know, he invented the shloka. Valmiki invented the shloka. He saw a pair of krancha, of birds, they were mating. And then a hunter killed one of them. And he was so upset, and he created the shloka from that, from his expression of grief to seeing these two, one bird being killed. So it was all before that Lord Rama even appeared, that the Ramayana was in place. So there's no explanation. The explanation is that it's bogus. It's completely bogus. The thing is, Hanuman, though he is called Vayuputra, Vayu is the one said the stepfather. Hanuman is actually a Parshada, is an Amsha of Lord Shiva. And then Hanuman, and then Pavan brought him to Anjana. But he's actually an Amsha of Lord Shiva. So hey, Lord Shiva is worshipping Ram. He's the greatest devotee of Ram, Hanuman, the Amsha of Lord Shiva. So this other, you know, this Kumbham Ramnian is, it's not, is it, you ignore it. Only Valmiki. And you can get it from Gita Press, 1900 pages, 2 volumes, 300 rupees. At Vedanta Bookshop. Sanskrit and English. You will not find this. You will not find that. Because the Cholas, I don't know when Kumbham lived, but the Cholas, at the time of Alabandar, Yamunacharya, the Chola Raj gave him half his kingdom. Gave it to, because he won it in the debate. You know that story, he debated and defeated the Raj Guru of the Chola Raj. Because, you know, he was a little boy. They were going to debate because he was persecuting the Yamunacharya's guru. So he demanded to debate with the Raj Guru. So the king said, okay, come and debate with him. He said, no, I'm going to debate with the Raj Guru. You have to send an elephant. You have to send proper, you know. So he goes and he has a debate with the Raj Guru. At first, the Raj Guru just asking him, because he thinks he's a little boy. So he asks him simple questions, you know, what's 2 plus 2, elementary grammar. So Yamunacharya says, I can see that you think a pundit is determined by how big he is. And therefore, a water buffalo is a bigger pundit than you. So he said, enough of you asking me questions. Let me ask you some questions. So he said, I'm going to make 3 propositions. You have to defeat them. The first proposition is, your mother is not barren. Therefore now, he has to prove that his mother actually is barren. The second proposition is, the king is pure, sinless. And the third proposition is, the queen is a chaste woman. So the Raj Guru is freaking out. What? I have to prove my mother has no children? I have to prove the king is sinful? And I have to prove that the queen is not chaste? He was like, yeah, this is a very touchy situation. And so he said, smoke was coming out of his ears. His brain was turning. So he said, enough of this. This is nonsense. It's just word jugglery. You disprove your own propositions. Otherwise, off with your head. So then, Yamunacharya, he quoted from Manu. Manu says, if you only have one son, it's as good as having no sons. So, you're the only son of your mother? The king has to accept once he gets 1/6 of the punya of the population, 1/6 of the papa, how he can be pure. Right? And there's 2 ways of proving that the queen is not pure. One is that the king is the personification of several devas. Yama, Indra, like this. How she got so many husbands? Or at the marriage sacrifice, the time of the vivaha, you know, you were given by Gandharva, you were given by you. Gandharva gave you to Agni, Agni gave you to this one. She's been with so many men. How she can, like that. So like this, and therefore he lost. So therefore he got half the kingdom. So when Yamunacharya, Alavandar, when he gave up, his kingdom and became a devotee, he put half of his kingdom, he gave it to Ranganath Swami, Lord Ram. Ranganath Swami, Lord Ranganath is Lord Ram. We know that, right? Everybody agrees?
No.
We didn't know that? No. When Vibhishan was going to leave to go back to Lanka, he wanted some murti, something he could worship. Because he's going a long way, you know. So Lord Ram gave him a murti. You take this murti with you and you worship it. So he's flying back to Lanka. So the devas were not so thrilled with the idea that the rakshasas are going to be worshipping Lord Vishnu. So they hatched a plot. So as he was flying overhead, Indra and Ganesh, they had, because Lord Ram, when he gave one condition, that you be careful where you put this murti, but when you put him down, he cannot move again. He has to stay wherever he's put. Once put down, cannot be moved again. So the devas knew that. So he is flying, and Indra and Ganesh, they had a plot. So while he's flying, all of a sudden, a vision feels the urge to pass water. The call of nature. So he's like, twisting his legs, and he's, what am I going to do? I have this deity in my hands, I can't exactly pass water like this. So he's, what am I going to do? And I can't put him down. I can't hold him. I can't put him, if I hold him, I can't pass water. And so he saw down on the ground, he saw a Brahmin boy on an island. So he landed, says, you hold this deity, I have to go answer the call of nature. And the boy said, okay, I'll hold it, but I have to go to my lessons. And if you're not back in time, I'm going, because my guru will beat me. So you please, you have to hurry up. So the Bhishan went behind the bushes and he was relieving himself. But since Indra was supplying, Indra was supplying the water, he was standing there for a long time. Very long time. And the Brahmin boy was saying, hey, listen, your time is up, I'm going. He put the deity down, and then the Bhishan figured out, I've been tricked, I've been had. So he runs out. I don't know if he was still passing water. He runs out and he starts chasing the boy. And he's chasing, and finally he turned into Ganesh, and then he finally caught him and he hit him on the top of the head. And to this day, on the mountain facing Sri Rangam, there's one temple of Ganesh with a dent in his head. So that's Lord Ram. And he's facing south. The Lord is facing south where Vibhishan is. So once every 12 years, Vibhishan comes. And he has darshan. It's the only one of the few temples which is facing south, to face Vibhishan. So until the time of Krimikantak Cholaraj, who expelled Ramanuja from Sri Rangam, that temple, that he took back the land from Ranganath Swami. So there was a whole issue between the Vaishnavas and the Shaivites. There was an anti-Vaishnav movement, because Krimikanta Cholaraj, he wanted everybody should become a Shaivite. So these poets were influenced by that type of thing. Their poets owed their livelihood to the patronage of the kings. So if the king says, make Shiva supreme, then he writes a few extra lines in the Ramayana. That kind of thing was going on. Because they depended upon that type of thing. Not, you know, they were not real Brahmins. Like there was one story in the, one incident in the life of Nam Awar. So Nam Awar had his disciple, Madhuri Kavi was his disciple. So one time there was an old lady she became the servant, and she was sweeping the grounds, right? So he was so happy with her. He said, whatever blessing you want, I'll give you. She says, I want eternal beauty, eternal youth. So I said, okay. Nam Alwar did like that, because he's an incarnation of Vishvakshena. So then she became very beautiful and very youthful. So the king of the country happened to catch her. He noticed her. So then he married her. Then he noticed that as the years were going by, he was getting older, but she wasn't. She was just as young and beautiful as she always was. And he was wondering, how is this? So then she revealed the whole story. This yogi, he gave me this blessing. So she said, and his student, sometimes he comes here. So you can ask him to get the yogi to come and bless you also. So then one day Madhura Kavi came to the court. So the king said to him, I heard that your guru has so many abilities. You tell him to come here. I also want to bless him. So Madhura Kavi said, my guru does not listen to the order of mundane men. forget it. You know, I'm not going to ask him to come. It's not going to happen. So he said, okay, you're a poet. Why don't you sing something about me then? Sing my glories. Murderer comes, I only sing about Lord Vishnu. I'm not going to sing about, I don't sing about mundane people. I sing about the Lord and his devotees only. So then the king said, okay, get out of my city. Leave my kingdom immediately. So Madhura Kavi said, okay, that's the price you have to pay. You know, it's one thing to, you know, to say, you know, you have to have some courage there. So these other poets, they were listening whatever the king told them. This one, they wouldn't listen. So he got kicked out of the kingdom. So he goes back to his guru and he said, Guru Maharaj, the king told me I have to leave. So I'm going now. So he rolled up his grass mat, put under his arm, he left. So Namala was thinking, well, what am I going to do? My favorite disciple is leaving. So he went to Lord Vishnu saying, my disciple is going, I love him very much, I'm also going to follow him. So he rolled up his grass mat, put under his arm, and he also left, following his disciple. And Lord Vishnu saying, what am I going to do here? My devotees are leaving. You know, what am I gonna do? He got up off Ananta Sesh, rolled up Ananta Sesh, put under his arms, and he also was following him. So then there's the disciple, the guru, and Lord Vishnu. They're going out. So then as they when they left the edge of the kingdom, all of a sudden the lights went out. The sky became black. The king became, what's going on? What happened? And so his queen says, I told you, you shouldn't have messed with those devotees. Now look at the trouble you got yourself. You've been cursed like that. So then he sent his army, he sent his commanders, told, oh please, the king is sorry, please come back to my kingdom. But then Madhura Kavi said to his guru, well, I'm going to go back, they call me back. Like that. And so then, Namalwar said to Lord Vishnu, so well, the king said we can stay, so we're going back. But then Lord Vishnu, he unrolled his Ananta Sesh, he got on top of it, and they build a temple for him. Like that. So the point being is that a devotee like Madhura Kavi, he's not going to care about the opinion of some mundane political leader. But there were many who did. Many who did. They compromised. Just like during the time of the British Raj. If you wanted to be a professor, if you wanted to be a teacher in one of their colleges, you had to toe their line. The British totally destroyed Indian history. They chopped out 1200 years. They made Chandragupta Maurya a contemporary of Alexander the Great. If you wanted to, though that's not the reality, Chandragupta Maurya was from 1500 BC. The imperial Guptas, they were contemporaries of Alexander the Great. But if you wanted to get a job, you had to do what they said. You had to follow their line. Otherwise you don't become a professor. So many Indians, they began just pulling the British line. Otherwise, they don't get a job. They compromised. They cooperated. So it's getting a little late. Narsingha Swami was taking over. Jai Sri Ram.